You know, Carrie brought me some water, and look, it's only half full and no ice. You know, you try to raise children the best you can, and you see what happens? Better than half empty. Right. That's what Herb said. Yeah. I'm just kidding, because I told Carrie to do it just exactly like that, because knowing me, I'd knock it right over, you know? All right. As I get situated here, we're just going to look at a couple of scriptures tonight. We'll start in the book of Jude. Well, actually, let's start in 1 John. Let's start in 1 John chapter 4. I think that might be easier for us. 1 John chapter 4. And we'll break in with just one verse at verse 12. 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. The Apostle John says, "No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us." And note this last phrase, "and his love is perfected in us." And we'll discuss that later. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Now, you might want to keep your ribbon in your Bible right there, but we're going to turn over to Jude, the book of Jude, and verse 21. Jude, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Keep yourselves in the love of God. Well, we are endeavoring tonight to begin a new study commencing tonight and perhaps over the next several months. I'm not sure the way the Lord might lead us, but I think it'll probably be at least several months on this particular subject. And we're leaving behind our examination of Christian trials, and we're entering a new line of study. But I think you will discover that God's trials in life will have an effect on this new subject that we are going to consider starting tonight as well, that they are both linked and tied together. You make the connection. I won't draw it for you. Now, we will be dealing with the subject of Christian love in its many and varied manifestations in the Christian life. Now, my hope and prayer is that it will be both doctrinally enlightening, but also eminently practical as well. That is, both grace and truth. We do need both of these great virtues, that is, grace and truth, or else my Christian life will be out of balance. You see? And as the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if we are without love in our Christian life, my life for Christ, as Paul would say, is as sounding brass or as a tinkling cymbal without love. But my love as a Christian should be a reflection and a mirror of Christ's own love that he displayed. It's just as John penned it in the first chapter of his gospel, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." The Lord Jesus Christ, while on the earth, he would heal the leper. He would heal the demoniac. He would heal the blind. But he would also cast the money changers out of the temple. Now, don't think that's strange, dear ones. It is grace and truth. You see? But our Lord Jesus himself was always, in everything he did, motivated and prompted by the love of God the Father who sent him. Now, healing the leper and casting out the money changers were different sides of the same coin. Now, that coin, that divine love, is both grace and truth. Now, I as a Christian must keep this uppermost in my mind as I live my life. God's love is not the love that emanates from Hollywood, from the world. God's love is not the love of the modern psychologist or the modern psychiatrist. God's love does not emanate from human reasoning or logic. God's love is not the love of the humanist. The world's love is earthy and sensual. It sounds logical and effective, but it is instead destructive. Destructive. But God's love does not emanate from human reasoning or logic. Quite the contrary, God's love defies and contradicts all human reasoning or logic. The Christian's love comes from a supernatural source, and that love is diametrically opposed to human love. Now, yes, unregenerate man can show compassion. They can show kindness. They can show selflessness. But none of those can bring glory to the Godhead. Only a child of God can model and show forth God's love in this world. The unregenerate man cannot do this. Only the Christian can show forth and reflect God's self-sacrificing love in this world. Furthermore, there is no power in unregenerate man's love. But when a Christian shows forth Christ's love, it impacts and transforms souls. Christ's love, as it is displayed in God's child, has the power to change the course of another human being. Human love cannot do that. But not just change the course of human life, but do it in such a wondrous way that glory and honor rise up to God because of it. Now, in the New Testament, the subject of love is a prevailing theme. It is dealt with to some degree in every book of the New Testament. You know, the great Puritan preacher Jonathan Edwards, he said this. He said, a Christian should at all times keep a strong guard against everything that tends to overthrow or corrupt or undermine a spirit of love. A Christian should at all times keep a strong guard against everything that tends to overthrow or corrupt or undermine a spirit of love. And this is what Jude 21 teaches the Christian. Keep yourselves, Jude says, in the love of God. Now, notice that this is something that I do. Did you notice that? I am to keep myself in the love of God. God holds me responsible to keep myself in the love of God. Now, please understand that this passage is referring to God's love for me as an individual. So, how do I keep myself in the love of God? Or, as Jonathan Edwards put it, keep a strong guard against everything that overthrows or corrupts a spirit of love. Well, William McDonnell gives us a good analogy of God's love here in Jude. Brother McDonnell likens the love of God, he likens it to sunshine. Sunshine. And this is a good analogy, because God's love for His children is always and ever constant. God's love for me, for you, does not change. But the implication in Jude 21 here is that I can, as a child of God, get out of God's love. And that's so because I am told to keep myself in God's love. Now, if I am to strive to keep myself in God's love, as I'm told here in Jude to do, then as a Christian, with my old nature still present within me, then I can get out of His love, can't I? And this is why Jude tells us to actively keep ourselves in God's love. Now, we do understand, according to Romans chapter 8 and verse 35, that nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. And that, we know, is a divine absolute. A divine absolute. Nothing can alter that truth. So what is Jude talking about here? Well, if we picture God's love as sunshine, and I can step out of that sunshine, then what has happened? What has happened? Well, the answer is simply sin. Sin. My sin comes between and blocks God's sunshine and takes me out of the love of God. Does God stop loving me? Of course not. Of course not. Romans 8 tells us otherwise. But when sin comes between me and the sunshine of God's love, what happens? Well, fellowship is disrupted. Because my sin is blocking God's dealings with me, I cannot benefit from His wonderful love. Is this logical? And because I cannot benefit from the sunshine of His love, then I cannot produce His love in my life. Do you see this? I have separated myself from the source of true love. And as a consequence, cannot effectively show His great love to others. Now, dear ones, this is very important to understand. This all-important quality of love that has such a supernatural effect on others is effectively blocked by my sin. So do you see how devastating sin is in my life? It blocks the love from God, which in turn blocks the outgoing love from my heart to others. Jude says, keep yourselves, dear ones, in the love of God, a command. So let us not tolerate sin in our hearts. I, as a Christian, cannot manifest God's love to the world or to other Christians when my sin is blocking God's love. This is what the Scriptures teach. So what we get from all of this is that if I, as a child of God, do not deal with my sin if I do not constantly judge my own heart before Him, there is no way that God's love can shine through me and shine on to others. Keep yourselves in the love of God, Jude says. Now, if we do not, then our love, my love, your love, is reduced to the same type of love that comes from natural, unregenerate men. And that love, as you know, has no power, absolutely no power to change a man's course of life or his eternal destiny. Understand that natural love cannot minister either grace or truth to its recipients. It is impossible. It is worthless to God. Remember, sin is a work and a product of the flesh. My flesh cannot produce God's love. It's impossible. It cannot. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, he said, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." But dear ones, God's love is a good thing. God's love is so much of a good thing that it will change me. It will change my attitudes, and it will change my way of thinking. Now, these great changes will come about in my heart as I myself practice God's love. And I want you to see this and listen very carefully until we end with this. Now, we're going to see this Sunday as we look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But turn back, if you would, to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 12, just to have it in front of you. Now, this is a truly wonderful thing about God's supernatural love, and I want you to see this. Not only will God's love through me impact others as I practice it, but it will have its own effect on me as well. Now, all of this is by God's design. God's love does not only heal and mend and restore others as I practice it, but it heals and matures me as I practice it. To understand this, the Apostle John said here, he said, "If we love one another, God dwells in us," yes, "and His love is perfected in us." Let me read it again. "If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in me," in you, "when I show love to my brethren and sisters." Do you see this? In other words, as I love my brethren and the lost, God dwells in me, and His love through me, which has been shown outwardly toward others, will be perfected in my own soul. In other words, as I show the love of Christ, God is doing a work in my heart, my own heart, to perfect and mature me. So John says, as I show forth God's love will be perfected in me. It will have a wonderful effect on my own heart, and it will change me just as much as it changes others. Only God could do such a thing. Only God could do such a thing. So as I practice and show forth Christ's love, Christ will do a work in my own heart to change me, to purify me, to mature me, to transform me into His own image. Such is the love of Christ, dear ones. Not only changing the object or the objects of my love, but at the same time changing and transforming me, the giver and the vehicle of God's love. This is the wondrous power of Christ's love, changing both the recipient of that love, but also the giver of that love as well. Amazing. If we love one another, John says, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Dear ones, let us keep ourselves in the love of God. And as we do so, God's love will not only transform others, but it will transform me as well. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the love of Christ. Oh, what a power it is, Lord. We have seen it evidenced in the salvation of our souls. But, oh God, we can see it every day. We can see Your love displayed every day as we come before Thee and keep ourselves in Your love. And that love, Lord, You will use by Thy Spirit to impact and to change those that I come into contact with every day. But not only that, Lord, it will change my own heart. Oh, Father, we pray that that would be our experience as Your children. That we would be known as lovers of one another and therefore show the love of Christ. We pray, Lord, that we will be doing that shortly as we bring our prayers before Thee. We will be shedding and sharing and showing forth our love for those that we pray for. Oh, Father, we pray that You would honor the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in us, that You would hear us, and Lord, that You would answer to the perfectness of Your own divine will. And oh, Father, we do pray that all the glory and the honor of that precious love shed abroad in redeemed hearts would glorify Him. In Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. I believe Earl has some prayer requests for us.